Hello and welcome to the Home Improvement Show. I'm Sue Smith, sitting in for Joanne Vrakis, and I got Walter Assey here in studio, ready to answer your questions. Hello, Walter.
Hello.
Now, I know we have some callers on the line, and we are going to get to you, so please be patient. But, Walter, you came in here with a fire under you this morning saying, yeah, we got to talk about flooding. So let me know what's been going through your mind and what have you been thinking about with that? Because, of course, a lot of people got flooded this week.
Again.
Yes, yeah, again.
Unfortunately. So, We did open just actually this week Renovco Plumbing. So we opened a plumbing division specifically to cater for prevention. Mm-hmm. Like we do all kind of plumbing work. But we, you know, there's still a lot of homes that don't have the adequate plumbing infrastructure to help prevent backups in their home. So I'm actually shocked because I'll give you an example. We got so many calls of people that got flooded last year that are calling us again this year, and they got flooded again.
Yeah. I heard from people, too, who had like literally just finished their renovations, and then they got flooded again.
Exactly.
But when you say that people don't have adequate plumbing infrastructure, what do you mean?
So, I mean, right now, we all know we can't rely on the city infrastructure. It's failing, it's aging, it's decaying, it's inadequate in some cases, right? So we have to kind of take the bull by the horns and protect our own home.
Be proactive.
From, you know, the city. So backwater valves are a must. Sump pumps are a must. Sump pumps that discharge to the exterior and not go back to the city sewers are a must. So backup drainage for sump pumps. You know, things of that nature, people with downslope garages with no linear drains in front of them. So there's a lot of issues that could be corrected through plumbing work that will drastically decrease the chance. I mean, there's no magic bullet where we can eliminate the chance, but a lot of the places that we've been to have those plumbing anomalies or not updated plumbing, yeah, or even people with backwater drains, valves that have not been maintained in 20 or 30 years.
Okay, so I have a question about a backwater valve because when I picture it, I picture like a small thing on the pipe that comes in from the city. And when I see flooding, it's like way more than a backwater valve can handle. Is it enough?
So yes and no. The idea is, yes, it is in most cases because it's really a flap. When the water comes out of your home, it allows it to flow out. And when the water backs up from the city, it shuts down.
Right.
So that flap needs to be always in good working order. And it does have a gasket, and that gasket needs to seal nicely. So when you don't maintain it, clean it, lubricate it, what happens is that gasket dries up. So it actually stops from working. It gets stuck open sometimes. And even when it shuts down, it doesn't shut down completely. So that makes it inefficient and in a lot of cases useless, in big backups. So yes, in most cases, when the sewers do back up, if you do have a backup system, it does work.
But water has to go somewhere. So if it doesn't go into your house, does it not go around your foundation and create other problems?
It will go to your neighbor's house who does not have a backup
Walter, we care about everybody, even the neighbors.
I know we do, but you know.
You mean the person that I brought my raccoon to last year? Is that the one?
That's probably the one, yeah.
Okay, so backup valve, a sump pump to the outside. Interesting about the downslope garages. You're talking about linear drainage, so a drain before the door?
It drains before the door, but I mean, we have concocted a nice system now where I'll give you an example. We got a call yesterday or a couple of days ago, and this gentleman is actually a very interesting thing to talk about because I've been getting a lot of these calls, but one particular person wanted us to bury their garage and just make it as part of their basement. So eliminate the downslope garage altogether, right, which is a very drastic measure given the circumstances. And the reason being is every time there's a big rainfall, they get water in the garage, sometimes goes into their basement, so they're kind of fed up, and they feel like they need to babysit the house, and they don't go after any vacations, and, you know. So we said, you don't have to go to those drastic measures. There are ways that we could do this, and decreased your chance of flooding by at least 90%. Uh-huh. And what we do in this case is, yes, we do a linear drain. Then in the pit itself, what we create is another drainage system that goes to the back of the garage, that goes into another sump pump pit, right. And then that pit pumps it out.
Out, probably, right?
Correct. Yeah. So they will have like an additional drainage system, uh-huh. an additional pit. And obviously, the pit itself is going to be protected with a backwater drain as well. So backflow valve.
Because sometimes when you see these massive amounts of rain that come really quickly, like we saw this week, and you know we were talking about this off air, and that it often you can predict flooding, but in this case, it was just like, wow, the rain came out of nowhere and there was so much of it. So those things are enough to really, I mean, even if you're in a place that gets a lot of water, you should be dry.
Well, you know, the most that you're seeing is sewer backups. That's what we, if you want to go with, because I mean, water can come from anywhere. It can come from the foundation, come from the from window wells, from windows. But I mean, the vast majority is coming through failed plumbing, if you want. So sewer backups, sump pump failures. So there's still a whole bunch of people with no backup. Sump pump backups. Now we're talking about battery powered backups of the air together. And you know, the first thing that happens in a freak storm,
your power goes out.
That's right. 100,000 people this week miss electricity. So yes, you could have the best pump on the planet. It's not going to do you well when you don't have, and that's when you really need your pump. So definitely, is there a water gravity pump? And not all of them. There are just few that I can endorse that are in the market, or a battery power pump, or a generator. Mm-hmm. Like this, there's no other, there's no other way around this. And that's important because like, you know, the three people that I saw myself this week that were flooded by a sump pump was due to a power failure, not because the pump was not working. So that could have been easily rectified. Now they have thousands of dollars worth of damage.
Yeah, well, I have to say, when I lived in Pointe Claire, that happened to me. It was a power failure and the sump pump didn't work. So afterwards, you know, with closing the barn door after the horse is gone, I did install that battery-powered one. And it's great because when the power goes off, it, like, sends an alarm throughout the house.
Correct.
To know that, like, wow, now your power's off and the backup sump pump is working.
The only thing is 6 hours. You have that's what you have as backup after that, which is, I mean, in most cases, the vast majority of the cases, it's fine because within those 6 hours, we know that most storms subside and then it's not as much pressure in the pit. Mm-hmm. But it's not a magic formula if this happens in the spring where, you know, the snow is melting and you need it more often. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's better than nothing for sure.
Yeah. And usually in the spring, if you do have a sump pump and in a normal day when it's not even flooding, you'll hear it going off because of the groundwater and that kind of thing.
That is correct.
So, I mean, I guess it just bears repeating. I feel like we do this every time there is a flood, but the answer is not to do it, fix it after. The answer is to be prepared before. And that's going to mean spending some money.
Well, I mean, you know what? There are now Renoplex grants from the government that are put in place specifically for that. And the government, like the city, pays up to $40,000 in grants
if you
do repairs to your foundation, you install a sump pump, you install this, you install that. So, you know, there are facilities for people that they could actually use, and they can go on the website, fill up a form to see how much they qualify for and if they qualify. And it's the great part about it, it doesn't only cover homes, but it covers homes up to 5 dwellings, so meaning even small buildings.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So there, you know, it's a now or never type of a scenario, really.
Yeah, do it before the next flood. Okay,
yeah. One last thing. Yes. Insurance companies, in most cases, are very restrictive on coverages now.
Well, that's it.
Or even no coverages at all. So it's a win-win if you do it preemptively, for sure.
Especially if you've already had a claim. Then, you know, your premiums are out of the roof or they won't insure you anymore. We've seen a lot of that. Okay, you're listening to Walter Assey. We're talking about flooding. That's his message to you today, is be preventative. Walter is here for the rest of the show to answer your questions. Hey, Hello and welcome back to the Home Improvement Show. I'm Sue Smith and we've got Walter Assey here answering your questions and we've got lots of callers on the line, 514-790-0800. If you have a question for Walter, let's go straight to the phone lines. Diana is on the line. Thanks so much for your patience, Diana.
Oh, it's Diane, but no problem.
Oh, sorry, Diane.
Good. Okay.
Hello, and what's your question for Walter?
Yes, good morning, Walter. Good morning, Sue. I'm calling regarding my gutters. They're giving me great stress when there's a lot of rain. The water is just pouring over heavily, but in two specific spots, like on the back gutter, and there's a spot, and in the front gutter, it's in the same spot, but one's on the back, one's on the front. So I've gotten quotes on replacing the gutters, but I'm not sure if it's what I should be doing because my roof is getting old.
Okay, I mean, so it's not really, the gutter and the roof are not really, in this particular case, are not really, it's a problem that it's not really interconnected. What you have to, why do you think you need to have your gutters replaced? Let me start with that.
It's just the overflow of water. Like, it's not managing the water. Now, I know we had an extreme, you know, an unusual amount of rainfall the other day, but it just happens all the time, and it's just pouring over, so it's ruining the landscaping. It's like the landscaping's starting to wear down, and, you know, it's starting to go make a dent, let's say.
When was the last time you had your gutters cleaned?
Oh, I get my son to go up twice a year and go up there and clean. We do have trees, so there's a lot of leaves, but the spouts are working. Like, the water is coming down the spouts, mm-hmm. but I guess not fast enough to alleviate the amount of water in the gutter.
So,
one thing that might be strange is there's only one spout on each gutter. So the gutter is one very long piece along the roof, and then they only have one spout on each gutter. So I had some quotes where the man wants to go to two spouts, but then I have a small lower roof where there's like a garage port. So that little roof has its own gutter with a spout on each side.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
You don't necessarily need a spout on each side. First of all, it's ugly to look at, and you really don't need that. We're going to discuss different options for you.
Okay.
But beforehand, before we kind of scrap the gutters and say let's replace them all, a couple of things I want you to be mindful of.
Okay.
A lot of the cases when you have your gutters cleaned, if you don't put proper water pressure in the downspouts, a lot of time there are partial blockages in the downspouts. So,
Okay. Yes,
you see water coming out, but you don't see water necessarily gushing out.
Okay.
Which means, just a regular cleanup does not usually take care of that. You kind of, especially if there's a lot of old accumulation that's just been compacted.
Okay.
What you need to do, and I would invest in that first, is have them professionally cleaned.
Okay.
And speak to, be very specific with the gutter cleaning guys that mm-hmm. it is, that you suspect blockages in the downspouts.
Right.
Make sure that they put water water pressure there.
Okay.
In a lot of cases, that will work. So why you're having backup is one of two things. Either you have a gutter that's way too small.
Okay,
so I mean, the standard that you see in most homes is 5 inches.
Yeah, it's not. It's not. I think they're 3 inches. Gutters are like over 20 years old, 25 years old.
It doesn't matter. There are gutters that are 30 years old that are 6 inches. It's not really the age of the gutter that matters for us. It's the capacity. But I can tell you one thing. If you are going to go with a new gutters, then mm-hmm. you want like... I always recommend a 6-inch gutter. 6-inch gutter, especially because now we're getting these crazy rainstorms,
right.
and we see that there's a lot of heavy rainfall. And
right.
So 6-inch is like if you want we call it commercial grade almost. It have a lot more capacity of water. And the other idea is you have to have them professionally cleaned twice a year. Well, cleaned twice a year, especially that you have a lot of trees and leaves and
Can my son just try to use a pressure hose?
He can.
We have one.
He definitely can. I mean, just be very careful that he doesn't fall off the roof. But yeah, definitely he can.
Okay. If the gutters needed to be replaced, if that didn't resolve the issue, do you feel that it's 32 meters? No, they're 13 meters long on each side of the house. It's a bungalow. So the long gutter that's in place now is approximately 13 meters. So one spout is enough? One spout is enough?
One spout, if you go with the 6 inches, it should be enough for sure. Okay. 13 meters is about 39 feet.
Right.
It should be enough for sure. Now, they can do a good gutter company. They do the calculations for you and they let you know.
Right.
But if you're going to go with another 3-4 inches, I can tell you right off the bat, it's not going to be enough. As a matter of fact, it's just going to overflow. Okay. One other thing you want to look at is to see if that could be the problem. Is sometimes the gutters, wherever we have them nailed to the soffit, there are areas in the fascia, I should say, not the soffit, the fascia that gets rotted out because of water infiltration. So you could have like a banana effect, looking at the gutter, you see like it's kind of caving down.
Right.
So that also could be the culprit, not necessarily the gutter itself, but the fact that it's not sloped adequately anymore.
Right. So, and if that's the case, they should be changed then. They have to.
Well, not really. If that's the case, the wood that is rotted behind it is what have to be replaced. And then they have to be re-nailed with the proper slope afterwards.
Because I did get two quotes already. And both companies are offering different. They're different. One says 6 spouts. One says 4. One's giving me a 4-5 inch gutter, the other one sticking to, I think, 3 inch. No.
The 3 inch gutter, I mean, that guy you can eliminate immediately.
Right.
I can tell you right off the bat.
So one man came and visually looked, and the other guy's from the phone, like from, behind the desk. So I'm not really comfortable.
So anything that happens behind the desk is not really what you want to, that's not the service you're looking for. I've rarely seen 3 inch. The minimum I would go with is a 5 inch. Like, there's no question about it.
Okay. And the last question.
Sorry, Diane. Is it a quick one?
It's a quick one.
Okay.
If I got new gutters, it wouldn't interfere with getting a roof later on, shingles. It wouldn't destroy my new gutters if I did a roof.
Absolutely not. The only thing that you would need to do is make sure that you clean your gutters after you do your roof.
Okay.
Because a lot of the remnants of the shingles will go in the roof and then it will block it.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks, Diane. And that is Diane asking questions about her gutters. And you can ask Walter a question. We've got lots of callers on the line and we will get to you. All right, nice perky little music there to get us in the mood for renovations. We got lots of callers on the line. You are listening to the Home Improvement Show. And, of course, Walter Assey is here. Hello again, Walter.
Hello.
And why don't you give us a call and ask your question, 514-790-0800. Let's go to William, who has been extremely patient. Hello, William.
Yes, hello. good morning. hello, Walter.
Hello.
Okay, I'm getting a new heat pump.
Mm-hmm.
I also wanted to get some new insulation in the attic of my 1958 bungalow. And because I don't have soffits, the contractor said he would install soffits, but it's very expensive. So he said another option would be to install large gable vents instead of soffits.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering what you thought of that.
Okay, so yes, it will be more budget friendly because all what it is really is a couple of grills from one end to the other end, and the air will circulate. If you want me to tell you what the code recommends, and that might make your decision a lot easier, if you wish, you need a 2-inch. Channel that is continuous and uninterrupted for you to have a healthy attic. Those gable vents are not going to give you that. But it's definitely better than nothing.
Okay.
Because, you know, the issue why we need ventilation in the attic, wood needs to breathe. Your attic is made of wood. And when you don't do that, you choke your attic, you overheat your attic, the wood starts to rot. And on top of that, you're overheating your roof, meaning, you know, a premature aging of the roof, meaning ice damming and everything else. So nothing good comes out from an unventilated attic. But if you have absolutely budget issues, then I could tell you, like, the gable vents are better than nothing. If you ask me what I prefer, I definitely prefer real soffits that are continuous, that will do a much better job.
Maybe I could get the thermopump and the gable vents now, and then later on, I don't know, 2 or 3 years, then I could get the soffits done.
If you do get the soffits done, you're double paying, because you have to cancel the gable vents. You cannot have one. You have to have one or the other. Just to kind of give you, just so you can understand how it works, you have those maximum vents on top, right?
Okay.
And these are usually useless if you don't have an air intake, right?
Okay.
So the soffits or the gable vents will act as this air intake, so the max vents on the roof circulate the air in the attic. If you don't have that, then those max vents on the roof are just decorative. They're not doing anything.
Okay, I understand.
So
right.
If you do gable vents and soffits, you're going to lose that suction that those vents need to circulate the air.
All right, okay.
So you're going to have, you might be double paying in this case.
Yeah. Okay, well, yeah, that's good information. Okay, thanks very much.
Thanks, William.
Okay, bye.
Okay, there you go, William, with a question about soffits. And I had a little comment that I wanted to make, Walter, about the gutters that we were talking about before, shutters, soffits and gutters. I don't know if they're related, but I recently had new gutters installed, and they had a product which was new to me, which is a cover on the gutters, which has like vents in it.
Yeah.
And holes in it. Is that the way all new gutters are installed
now?
No,
absolutely not. That's just a gutter topper. Uh-huh. It's something to shield from the leaves and dirt and debris. It can be good in some cases, and it can be not as great in others.
Uh-oh.
If your roof is susceptible to ice damming and accumulation of icicles, the fact that you have a gutter topper will magnify the problem and will accelerate, if you wish, a water backup under the shingles.
This is a cottage.
Doesn't matter. If you have any issues pre-existing, you know, and you would know if you have these issues because you will see these big icicles or ice damming on the perimeter of the roof, it's not usually the greatest because you're losing that extra cavity.
Right.
Where,
to absorb
you know,
the water.
That's right.
Yeah.
But in, you know, normal roofs that you don't have that issue, it's great. You don't have to maintain them as much.
Yeah. Okay. Mixed comments there from Walter.
All right. That's I have to give you the pros and cons. I can't, you know.
Good. Except I already bought them. All right. 5147, I know. 0800 is the number for your questions. Give us a call or you can text us as well at the same number. 5147-90-0800. Let's go to Arlene on the line. Hello, Arlene.
Great show, by the way. Thank you for having it. I had a question about mold in the attic. So I had somebody who kind of came door to door and said they would give a take a look in the attic. They were in the area, the same story that a lot of sellers have. And he said there was some mold, a small amount of mold in the attic that would need to be... they would wash it, they would do some spray in the whole attic, but that all the insulation had to be removed. They had to spray foam a vapor barrier and then put new insulation in. And the whole thing is like $9,000-$10,000.
Wow.
Is that what needs to be done? Is that like, I don't know, I always feel these door-to-door people are kind of sketchy.
And you're absolutely right to feel that way. First, for someone to go door-to-door, they have to have special licenses. And number two, if anyone is dealing with mold, they have to show you their mold training accreditation and certification, not just the RBQ. They have to show you an IICRC training certificate or Cleaning Trust certificate. That will be important because and the RBQ exams, by the way, do not prepare you or train you. Or there's not even money questions about mold in the exam to begin with, which I find it's a mistake, to be quite frank with you. So I would be extremely cautious about the door-to-door because that's where we hear a lot of the horror stories. I would definitely have a second opinion. Now, a little bit of mold would not require necessarily that you replace all of the insulation. It might necessitate that you replace the insulation in the sections where the mold is. Specifically, they said there is a bit of mold. Now, the second thing is, did you really have a lot of mold? Or did you have mold at all? That will be the second thing. And the third thing that is the most worrisome is if you do, you have to repair the cause before you do the repair, because if you don't, within one season, the mold will come back.
Right. So they're saying that it's moisture that's coming up through the house, basically. That's why they're saying, over time, the vapor barrier deteriorates.
That is incorrect. Vapor barrier cannot deteriorate unless it's a paper vapor barrier.
So I guess it's old, so they're saying that it's a paper barrier.
Okay. So that might be a case where you would have, but then again, if I would have enough insulation in the attic, you know, even if you have certain areas that are broken apart, that can be fixed. If you remove the insulation, that can be fixed in those particular areas without having to go too drastic, right? Because I know what they're trying to say. They want to spray, they do a 3-inch of spray foam to create an additional layer of vapor barrier, which is going to cost you a lot. Versus you fixing those areas that are problematic. So again, I'm having a bit of a hard time digesting this whole this process that they want you to go through. I would definitely get another opinion.
Okay. Do you do it? Do you have a recommended company?
Yeah, we could do it. We do that. That's fine.
You do that?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Okay, thank you. I will call you for a second opinion.
No problem.
Thank you very much for the information. I appreciate it.
Great show. Pleasure. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, thank you so much, Arlene, and we are heading to the top of the show, but if you have a question, get on the line. We've got a couple of callers to get through, 514-790-0800. If you have a question for Walter Assey, he is the president of Renovco, and this is the Home Improvement Show. Hello and welcome back to the Home Improvement Show. I'm Sue Smith and we've got Walter Assey here. Walter is the president of Renovco and he's answering your question. If you want to text us, 514-790-0800, and you can call 514-790-0800. Let's go back to the phone lines. Harry, thank you for your patience. What is your question today?
Good morning, Walter. Good morning, Sue. I have a home in Point Claire with a basement. One story, we got flooded last year and recently, but not so much. The water comes up in the basement through the shower. The shower drain is a shower in the basement. And it comes with some poop sometimes. I don't understand why. I'd always thought that there's two systems of pipes in the street, one for poop and one for rainwater. So I can understand when there's a lot of rain, the rainwater system gets overflowed, but I don't understand how the other system gets overflowed.
You don't necessarily. Well, I mean, most sewer backups will come through your drains, and you have. So, what you need to do in your case is a backflow valve. That will solve all your issues. You know, now every time you're going to have a surge of of rain, like, you know, 30, 40 millimeter of any like real downpour, it's causing so much stress on the city sewers, it's backing up to people's homes. So in your case, you're a perfect candidate. Just to, if you install a backflow system, you don't have to worry about it.
Okay. So I understand that that line that from the city comes in under the basement, and it just happens to be where the shower is. So, and you said it needs maintenance. So how do you install that in a place that you can maintain?
So a backflow valve typically will, there's different ways to install it, and different cities have different guidelines, if you wish, or so sometimes you can install it right on the main. Some municipalities do not allow that. The best way to install it is all on all the branches. So, for example, if you have a washer-dryer in the basement, you would install the shut-off valve or the backwater valve inside the wall, and you put a trap. So it is actually accessible. If it is on the floor for any other branches, like in your case, if you have a bathroom, so you would have to protect that, do install a backwater valve on the floor, and it will have a trap as well.
So how do you get to the trap if it's under the floor?
Well, you actually lift the trap, and what it is usually is a pipe that comes out of the slab. So it's a circular pipe that have a cover, and you open the cover. If you look inside, you'll see the flap, and then you will maintain that flap. You just make sure that it's clear of oil debris and it's well lubricated. And that's, you know, it takes literally a minute to maintain it.
But Walter, you're talking about, you're talking about putting like a door that you can lift up in the floor?
Is a trap. Yeah, that's exactly it. So what you do is if you have a subfloor, you would cut, let's say you have a tile. So you will make the trap around that tile. You put the tile on top, but you don't grout it.
Right.
Okay. And then, you know, you could put, even you could put that pull out handle if you want to do it easily. Or you could just pry it with a crowbar or a screwdriver.
Because to Harry's point, a lot of your piping, especially in the basement, is inaccessible.
That's correct. So you have to ensure that it is placed somewhere that is accessible. And that is a discussion you could always have with the plumber. He will tell you where the perfect location is. And then you guys can kind of map it out. If it's in a closet, that's even better. But definitely it needs to be accessible, because it will probably serve you well for a couple of years if you don't clean it, but eventually that flap is going to be stuck and then it would be useless again.
Yeah. Looks like either way, you're going to have to do some kind of installation, Harry.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you very much, Walter.
My pleasure.
Okay, thank you so much for that call. And Walter, you know, at the beginning of the show, and I think it will serve us to talk about it again because it is tis the season, you wanted to talk about flood prevention. You were saying that Renovco has now opened a plumbing division just to deal with prevention.
Yeah.
And I mean, to Harry's point, these are things you should do before the poop comes out.
So I mean, one of the things we're doing is we have those inspections that we do, and we do an audit. So we pass a camera, and then we provide a report of everything. I mean, the good thing is the homeowner sees the actual mapping of everything. So they understand if there are anomalies in their plumbing infrastructure. They know about it before a problem happens. And what's great about it, it's on the screen. So it's like black and white. There's no guesswork. Mm-hmm. So if there's a cracked drain underneath or mm-hmm. branches in your drain or your French drain is blocked, at least you'll have access to this information.
Mm-hmm. I had another question, a follow-up question from one of the other callers who was talking about mold in her attic. And by the way, we did get a text saying what you said, someone door-to-door isn't a good idea. And this texter was talking about a story that happened in their neighborhood, someone coming to check attics and they seemed sketchy. I took a picture of their license plate and called the cops, and the police were looking for them. And the police showed up quickly to stop them and set up their court date. So clearly, this is a scam that's going on.
Oh, yeah. So it's a way to access your home.
Yeah. But I wanted to talk about, and that caller said that, and we were talking about ventilation and stuff, but they had found mold. So don't you have to get rid of the mold first before you do anything proactive?
Definitely, you have to get rid of the mold. And more importantly, you have to solve the issue where the mold came
from. Of course.
So it really needs to go hand in hand, not just, because mold can really reappear after 24 to 48 hours. Of any unmedicated issue. Mm-hmm. So if you have, a water problem that, that you clean up and you sanitize and the water keeps on coming in, like you have a leaky shower, then you just spend money for nothing because mm-hmm. within a few days you're going to have that mold back.
Mm-hmm. All right. So prevention is the watchword of today. Get your backflow valves, get your septic, your sump pumps.
Some pumps, make sure your French drains are in good operating order, gutter extensions, and the list goes on and on. But
yeah, it's the list probably, does go on and on, Walter.
But it's probably the best and the cheapest decision you'll ever do.
Okay. You've been listening to the Home Improvement Show, and that is Walter Assey. And yeah, I mean, if I'm so sorry if any of you got flooded last week. We did have crazy rains, but that is the message, is try to get ahead of it for next time. As I'm sure you know, the insurance companies and everybody else starting to close ranks about that. So thanks so much for all your calls. And of course, don't forget about the Ask Walter a button on the Renovco site. If you haven't been able to get to your question, you just go to Renovco and press the Ask Walter button, and Walter promises that he reads them all himself and answers them. So there you go. And Walter, of course, will be back next week. I'm Sue Smith. Bye-bye.